Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Only on LA Talk Radio, you're going to hear us every morning, so you got to tune in. Like I have to remind them every week, right? Or every day.
That's a good way to start the week on a Monday morning.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Invite people to tune in. There you go. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Beautiful day in LA. Hi, Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Hi, how are you?
Good. It's very humid, though. Is this reminding you of Florida at all?
You know,
it's been raining all weekend, off and on, because of the humidity.
Well, I spoke to my mom this morning. She's like, even on the news here, it's been saying that it's been so humid in California. And I was like, I really don't feel like that bad.
Really? I'm like sweaty already, you know?
Really?
I mean, yeah. So
no,
maybe you're used to it or something. I mean, it's definitely not that heavy, you know, that weighs on you like it is in Florida.
Right.
But it's moist enough in the air, I guess, for it to rain.
Yeah, and I think the sunsets took away everything else that happened this weekend. The sunset Saturday and Sunday, did you see them?
No.
Incredible.
Really?
I haven't seen a sunset like that, I don't think, ever.
Because
the
of the clouds,
sky
probably.
The whole sky was orange,
huh?
And it was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
The most insane sunsets, both nights.
Really? Because all day, during the day, there was no sun.
No.
I went to the beach yesterday with my bike, and it started raining.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it was like sort of like dripping the whole time, drizzling and stuff.
Right.
But then it started raining, not that heavy, but enough for people to start leaving.
Yeah.
You know, I had to load the entire bike back and the rack and everything, so I got pretty wet from the rain.
Oh, no.
But I love rain, you know, it's fun.
I do,
so,
too.
So it's just that when you go to the beach, you don't want rain, you know?
Right.
It's not fun riding the bike in the rain.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, even walking down to watch the sunset last night at the beach, it started raining.
But yeah.
Then it was the most incredible sunset. I mean, the whole sky was orange and pinks and purple.
Really?
I posted one photo on Facebook. But I mean, I have just a whole collection on my phone.
Really?
And people have been saying to me, have you edited these? And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
This is what it looked like. It was beautiful.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay.
So I think that took away all the, if it was humid or cloudy, whatever. I don't remember anything. I just remember the sunsets.
I know. And this is crazy because we sit here for a few years with no rain at all. Then in the top of summer, you know, when it's really hot, man, we're getting rain for a few days, you know.
Right.
It's not serious rain or anything. Nothing you can measure. But still, enough to soil the cars and make us aware.
But there were floods in San Bernardino area.
Oh, really?
Really bad floods.
Really?
Yeah, really bad floods.
Wow, so there's
roads
probably like a thunderstorm or something.
Yeah, bad storms. Mm. And I was watching the news last night. I was like, where is this? Because it's definitely not here. They were saying Southern California. It's like, no, like, I'm in Southern California. This isn't happening right now. But it was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. So there were floods. I don't remember the other
like
areas. But it was
to
San
the
Bernardino area.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So the weather is going crazy, I imagine, in other places as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll make the best of what we can. I don't like to talk about global warming because I don't think anybody really understands it.
Right.
You know? So, but I think there's definitely been some changes in the climate,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the
My
long run.
My boyfriend said to me, this reminds me of earthquake weather.
I'm
like, don't say that to me.
I know, somebody brought up an earthquake too. I don't know if there's earthquake weather, really. I mean, usually it's warm or hot, I know, but not always. I mean, the Northridge one was in January.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't think there's such a thing. People
Good.
Just freak out. But I constantly get reminded sometimes. I think, God, you know, we just live our lives. We forget about the earthquakes till they remind us again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's, you know, we're going to get caught with our pants down. I mean, just as simple
that.
As that.
That's
well,
scary.
What else can you do? You know, I mean, the only thing you can do is move away from here.
Yeah.
To avoid the stress, you know.
Yeah.
But then you move somewhere else, there's other things, you know.
Exactly. Wherever you go, there's always something.
Yeah, there's tornadoes, there's snow, there's
mm-hmm.
ice, there's hurricanes, whatever you can think of.
Yeah.
You know. So
that's what it was in Florida, hurricanes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever sit through one? I mean, did you see them?
Yeah, but when I was swimming, I mean, it was always, we could see the clouds rolling in when it was getting bad. And,
right.
But we would love it because then we got to get out of practice.
Yeah.
My coach, on the other hand, would be furious, effing and blinding, like, this is messing up our training cycle. But we were all super happy when it's, and the storms would get terrible. And yeah, there were times when it was, we got the kind of the outskirts of the hurricane, but I was never in the middle of a hurricane.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. I wouldn't want to be in one either.
It was kind of fun though. I don't know.
Yeah.
It gives you a reason. Like this weekend, there was a reason to stay inside and I didn't feel guilty.
Yeah.
I didn't feel guilty for just hanging out inside and watching TV.
I know, but I was proud of myself because I went to the beach despite the fact that everything was telling me not to, you know. I mean, I was tired. I was the weather wasn't great.
Right. I feel like it's just perfect reason to stay inside.
You know, so then I decided to go anyway. So as I'm driving on the freeway, I'm realizing I didn't tighten the bike enough. So it's starting to like get loose. So I had to pull off the freeway and tighten it again. And I'm thinking, I probably shouldn't go, you know.
Is this something telling
you
not to
go? Yeah, because I'm doing it anyway, and it's totally against my nature. But I thought, I have to do this. You know, if I told myself I got to ride, then it's hard for me to ride the bike during the week now. So I thought, I have to go, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And then I go, then the traffic, and then again, I'm thinking.
Oh, no.
You know, and then, the rain. And you go, well, and then I go, well, I made it all the way here. I'm in the beach parking. I'm not going to turn around and leave. So if it's just dripping a little bit, no big deal.
Yeah.
So I rode to the pier, I ate a little bit, and then it started raining pretty hard, you know.
Then it's like, okay, now this is telling me I should
exactly
probably go.
And everybody was like, because everybody was on the beach too, you know, on the sand and stuff. So people started packing and leaving, which was funny.
Hey, a little bit of rain. It's California. You can't be laying out on the sand in rain.
I know. It's so funny. I haven't been to the Santa Monica Pier for so long. I forgot how touristy it is.
Yeah.
So I went there with the bike, and it was, it's all touristy, definitely. Like Hollywood Boulevard on a pier.
You know? Well, and especially because of like the amusement park.
Yeah, and then you have the souvenir stores and the cartoon artists and things like that, you know.
I like that kind of stuff every once in a while.
I know. It's cool. And you're watching everybody on the beach. There were a lot of people on the beach, too.
That's crazy because it was cloudy.
Yeah,
There was no way I was going anywhere near a beach.
Yeah, exactly, you know. But what are you going to do? So in a few minutes, we're going to get to our guests. We have fascinating guests here who are waiting patiently. I wanted to talk about last night. We went to a sort of like a 20-year career party for Sheena Metal, who is a host here.
Yeah.
You never got to meet her, huh?
I did.
You did?
Yeah, she came on.
She was on the show once, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know exactly who I'm talking about. Sheena has a daily show here, and she has had one for 5 years here. But she's been in radio for 20 years, so she decided she's going to celebrate it at the Improv in Hollywood. So she invited people, and I'm telling you, this room was packed.
Wow.
You know, so there had to be a couple hundred people there or something, you know.
That's great.
So what a great feeling, you know. So she went on stage, and she got like a standing ovation from everybody. Wow. So she started like crying and stuff, which was funny, you know. And she's a funny woman. So she started doing comedy sketches, and then she brought on some of our friends that had been on her show, like Corey Feldman. Do you remember Corey Feldman? It's from a previous generation. If you've seen Goonies and some of these movies, some of these, what other movies was he in? I can't remember. But he was, he also did Mutant Ninja Turtles or something. You know?
And that the new movie just came out for that.
Yeah, I know.
TNMT, right?
Yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay. Whatever.
Right? Neither of us can get it right.
I know. It's like, you know, it's too many adjectives there. How do you get
it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
There we go.
Yeah, I think that's what we said. We meant to say it. Didn't quite come out that way. So, yeah, so we went there, and she had Susan Olson, who is Cindy on the Brady Bunch, the little girl, and she always comes here. She has a show with Sheena here, too, and a few more comedians and stuff. And it was just a very fun show, you know, a lot of fun stuff. And you're just amazed at how many people someone can muster up to come to a party, you know.
Right.
It's pretty, it's not easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to do, but she's had so many guests. I mean, we have too, you know. If you start counting all the guests we've had,
it's
you go into hundreds, you know.
Yeah.
So
oh,
hundreds
yeah.
of people. So it's very interesting to see, you know, and it's very heartening to see that people come out and support you and stuff like that. And
yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so we had a great time, you know. It was cool. And that's it. I think, what else? I don't know. Nothing important. So let's get to our guests now. And we have a husband and wife team right here.
Right.
Right? We have Walter Dominguez, right?
Yes.
And Shelley Morrison Dominguez.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's what it listed you as. So that's what I'm saying. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great being here. Good
sure.
morning.
Do you guys live here in L.A. or are you visiting?
No, we do. We live just on the other side of the hills.
Oh, okay.
Over on the other side of town, near adjacent to Beverly Hills in the Mid-Wilshire area.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Cool. Yeah. Very nice.
I've lived in the same house since 1946.
Are you serious? And you're still there?
Why should I lie?
No. Well, I didn't think you were lying, but I find it hard to believe. So,
yeah,
maybe you're fibbing or something.
No,
but
no,
not lying.
No, we came out from New York, from the Bronx, after the war, the World War II, and my father bought this four-unit building and brought the whole family out. And so they were living in all the other apartments. There were four apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents made me promise that after they were gone, that I would stay and take care of whoever was left.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
And then I met my husband, Walter, and he moved in 41 years ago. And we did. We took care of my mother and my widowed aunts.
They were adorable.
They were
really?
So
Sardino
cute.
Ladies.
Oh.
Yeah. So sweet.
Oh, Tanti Rosa. Oh, my God. So adorable. And my mother. Oh,
yeah.
Miss her terribly.
So you've been here for a while. I mean, L.A. is home even though you were born in New York.
Since 1946.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, right after the war, you see. Yeah. So you lived through the war, right?
Yeah.
Were you young? You were pretty young.
Yeah, World War II started in
39.
Well, 41.
41 for us here, right.
And I remember the Sunday my Uncle Jack took my mother and my father and I for a ride in his car.
Mm-hmm.
And we got out to get something, and Uncle Jack stayed in the car, and he had the car radio on. And all of a sudden, he started screaming, and people were running to the radio. That was when Pearl Harbor was bombed.
December 7th.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I was born in 36.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm okay, so you were about 5 years old when the war started.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool, you know, to talk to someone who lived through it and stuff.
Definitely.
My father was an air raid warden. And he tried to enlist, but he was too old.
Mm.
But he became an air raid warden. And when the sirens would go, we'd have to pull the black curtains down and turn off all the lights.
Yeah.
And my father, and as a kid, you don't know if that's for real or what.
Or pretend, You don't understand what's going on.
And when it was all clear, and they would blow the whistles, and you could turn on the lights, I remember in the kitchen, the cockroaches used to just go every which way. I lived in a tenement.
Yeah. Well, times were different then. And
they were wonderful, though.
Yeah, yeah. I think now is wonderful, too. It's just different, you know. It's different. I mean, look, it's like even I don't get the young kids' music today, but it's music to them, you know. I can't really judge them or say, well, our times were better. Not necessarily so. It depends on where you are in your life, you know. Walter, where are you originally from? Are you from L.A.?
Yes, in this area. I was born in Santa Paula, California, which is right up here in Ventura County, adjacent to this county. And I pretty much grew up here. My folks and I, we lived in Mexico City for 1 year when I was three to 4 years old. But other than that, I've lived in Southern California in and around the Pasadena area until I met Shelley. Mm. And then I became an L.A. resident and have been since
Then. Very cool.
Since 1973.
Yeah. So it's been 41 years since you met.
Yeah.
No, we're married this month, August 11th. Uh-huh. Is our 41st wedding anniversary.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Yeah. We established that that Shelley's from New York and we have common background and roots and things like that. So so it's an inside joke, right?
Very inside.
So this is cool. So you don't remember probably much of Mexico City. You were pretty young.
I actually do. It was very vivid. I was, as I said, I was three when we moved there. It was a much smaller city. Today it's one of the biggest cities in the world. But at that time there were maybe only about 1 million people in the center of the city. And it was surrounded by lots of beautiful farmland and cornfields and a lot of Indian communities. Mm. And one of the vivid memories is right in the middle of the city, which was very modern in the part I was in, had skyscrapers and everything. But Indians on burros would come into town carrying their beautiful flowers that they grew and food, and they would set up a market right outside of our apartment building, which, by the way, was filled with European refugees. I played with a lot of little blonde and blue-eyed children
yeah.
who had escaped Nazi Germany and other parts of Europe. And so it was a very interesting place to be.
Right.
Wow. Well,
Do you have Jewish background, too? Or?
Well, as it turns out, I do. Part of the exploration I did about my grandfather's life, which is what the basis of the movie that I'm going to be talking about is,
right.
is I found out that through his mother— they were descended from Spanish Jews that had fled the Inquisition,
right.
fled to Mexico.
And that's how Europe really got a lot of Jews, many different countries did, because there was it like 1492, right? I mean, when they kicked out the Jews from there and the Inquisition and stuff, so a lot of people just escaped the torture and all that and the death. And many of them went to Greece, to Turkey, Poland, you know, most of the European countries. So there's a lot of people with that European background who were descendants of Jews that were in Spain at the time. Mm-hmm. Wow. And, yeah, there's a lot of history to that. You know, my dad was born in Greece. He doesn't remember much because he was a year old when they came to Israel and stuff. But they were speaking Ladino, which is a mix of Spanish and Hebrew. You know, like if you've heard of Yiddish, that's a mm-hmm. mix of German and Hebrew. So this is a mix of Spanish and Hebrew, you know. So they were speaking that at home, you know. And so I picked up some words and some things from that.
Don't you dare.
Yeah.
Don't you dare.
Yeah.
I'll tell them what it
but
really
not just
means.
The dirty words, you know.
Yeah, I'll tell them what it really means. You may be off.
Yeah, I know. I mentioned a couple of cuss words I know, and I don't even know what they mean. Mm. But she does.
I was doing some lecturing at UCLA where they have this course where they're trying to save the Ladino language. And all the kids there wanted to know all the swear words.
Yeah.
And the swear words, and they wanted to know the different kinds of food.
Oh, really? Yeah. And how to say it.
How to say it and how to fix it.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah. So they like the food.
And the main thing with any kind of Sephardic or Ladino cooking is everything has to be fresh.
Yeah.
Nothing canned.
Yeah.
Nothing, you know,
that's
fresh.
True. It's old-fashioned stuff. I mean, they didn't used to have cans and frozen and stuff back then.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
That's a lot better than now.
Yeah.
Where you have to go to the farmer's market to get something fresh.
I know.
Well, also, when my mother would bake or cook, she had to scrub down the whole kitchen. Everything had to be spotless.
Mm.
Cleanliness.
Yeah.
And if she was going to bake, she would put all this butcher paper on the counters.
Mm. I bet you're the same way, though. Are you pretty neat yourself?
For cooking.
Cooking.
Nothing else.
Nothing else, huh?
I can attest to that.
Yeah.
He's Mr. Clean. He has his drawers have his socks, you know, by colors and everything. And with me, it's like, find
throw
that under
there.
The shoe there. You know? Yeah. I've been an actress most of my life, so I've been on the road, bus and truck companies, national road companies, where, you know, you'd shave a leg in one town, in another town you'd shave the other leg. So you know, you learn to live on the hoof.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, Walter, did you have an easy childhood here? I mean, that was like some time ago as well in California. I'm sure the city, state has changed quite a bit.
It's changed enormously. Pardon me. I was blessed to spend the first 3 years of my life living in Santa Paula, where my grandfather had a little Methodist church. It's a rural community, farming, citrus mainly. It's a beautiful community, and it still looks very much the same. It hasn't changed all that much. It really, if you want to know what Southern California looked like, the rest of Southern California, up until the 50s, go to Santa Paula and you'll see what it looked like and what it felt like. And it was just gorgeous.
Wow.
Just
so gorgeous. It's sort of like time stopped in that place.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes. Wow. So it was a great place to have the first 3 years of my life. All my uncles lived there. A very, very nice place to be. Everybody was very good to each other.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So then, so you grew up here, and did you have, like, after high school, what did you decide you're going to do? Did you have any idea what you wanted to do with your life?
I was a history major I was going to go to college. So I went to college, and there, of course, the Vietnam War happened, and it was pretty a tumultuous time. But I remained in college on a student deferment, and when the college was over, I was a history major, but I wasn't sure which way I was going to go. And I was in a theater production there, and Dick Van Dyke, wonderful comedian, television star, came to see his son, who was performing in the same play. And afterwards, he came backstage, and he was very complimentary to me, and he encouraged me to stay in the entertainment business, which really blew me away. And just a week later, I received a letter, an invitation from the Directors Guild of America and the Producers Association here in Hollywood, if I would be interested in coming and testing and interviewing for a training program that they were sponsoring. And they were, at that time, they were really trying to outreach to minorities and to women to try to get some diversity going. And through the wonderful opportunity that came to me, I got into the entertainment business. And first off, I was assigned to work for one of the great directors of all time, Robert Wise, who directed The Sound of Music and West Side Story and numerous other wonderful films. So immediately I was starting to learn from a master.
Yeah.
And it was a great experience.
Right.
Wow. So right away you were kind of captivated by what everyone sees as Hollywood in LA, the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
And I mean, they approached you too, right?
It was.
What an invitation, God.
Truly miraculous.
Yeah, I mean, today somebody could only dream of something like that.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, both of us were so blessed that early in our careers, Walter and me, we got to work with some really incredible people. Mm. I mean, real professionals that taught you the craft and what it means to be on time, to be prepared, to learn everything you could about what you were going to do.
Right.
And that has held us both in together. And the film that we have just finished after 13 years, which is opening August 15th at the Lemley Theaters in Pasadena for a one-week engagement.
How exciting.
It's very exciting.
Yeah,
it's very exciting.
Well, we'll get to the movie as well, and we'll cover it quite a bit.
I just wanted to throw that in case you got sidetracked.
Sure. And, no.
You know, I could have slept another hour.
You can't get sidetracked the whole hour without not talking about the movie. Don't worry about it.
I'm very upfront, you know.
That's good. That's the way it should be, yeah.
You have to have a sense of humor.
Right. So you guys moved to L.A. Why? Why did your father decide he wanted to move here from New York?
He had friends. He had friends here. That he knew from New York. And he came here right after the war, bought this house sight unseen, this building, which is in a perfect place in Los Angeles because we're just, and we love our neighborhood. I mean, we love our neighborhood so much that since Walter and I have been married and living there, he and this other gentleman in our neighborhood, Steve Friedland, they've planted over 550 trees in our neighborhood.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of trees.
Yeah, the city had torn out a lot of them for some reason. I don't know why, maybe disease or something. So it was kind of barren, and this was back in the 80s. And so Steve and I decided that, and there was another guy too, we decided that we needed to get some trees back on the street so that, you know, and it turned out 25 years later, turned out very important because it, you know, the shade it provides. Also, every tree pumps out many, many gallons of oxygen into the atmosphere. So each tree is like this amazing generator of you know, air we can breathe. So our neighbor, and it looks beautiful. So
right, exactly. You know, sometimes I drive by and I see trees and I'm going, wow, you know, somebody took the time to plant this and everything, and now we benefit from it.
Yeah. Well, more than that, we also were very involved with the neighborhood association.
Mm.
And we were able to get an HPOZ, which is Historic Preservation Overlay Zone, which means people cannot tear down their property and put something else. If they tear it down, they have to build it exactly the way it was.
It's a very architecturally a very nice neighborhood. It's from a great example of LA architecture in the late 20s and early 30s.
Mm.
So you have these beautiful Spanish style homes, very charming and very unique. Everyone was designed differently with lots of detail, wrought iron and stained glass and all kinds of detail. And the apartment buildings there are in a couple of different styles from that period. So they were really well maintained, and we were able to get an HPOZ. We had to put a lot of work into it. There was a whole group of us, not just Shelley and I, the whole team.
But
of
we
people.
Worked with the schools. We kept we would be constantly going down to City Hall. They'd see us, and they'd say, "Oh, what do the Dominguez's want now?"
Endless petitions.
But we keep liquor stores out. We kept a very years ago a very large phone company from putting up phone cells, which were directed at
cell phone towers
right. at schools. Mm. And you know, I'm from the Bronx. You know, if I have a battle, I'm ready for it,
and you're gonna win,
or get very close to it.
Right. So how did you get interested in film and everything? Because obviously you're in that now too, and you mentioned something about the industry and that. So was that your first instinct after school to get into film?
My mother loved the movies.
Mm.
And whenever there was any extra money, we would take the subway and go into Manhattan, and we'd go from one theater to the next. We'd see a movie and a vaudeville act and then go across the street. And I saw what films did to people in the audience, and we were going through a very rough time during the Second World War, and how movies were magic, and they lifted people up.
Mm.
They made them laugh. They made them dream. And I didn't think I was pretty enough to be an actress, so I became a dancer. But also I was a smartass. I love to read, and I'm an information junkie.
Mm.
And anyway, make a long story short, I had a bad accident when I was dancing, and so I went to City College, Los Angeles City College.
Oh, okay.
And my classmates were Robert Vaughn and James Coburn, who was so adorable. The only problem I had, I was just 17 years old. The only problem I had was that I still spoke the way I spoke in New York.
Right.
Which was like this. and you can't do Shakespeare like this.
Right.
I mean, it's not terrific. And a wonderful teacher worked with me with a tape recorder, Alice Parashon. Bless you wherever you are in heaven. And I developed an ear for dialects.
Wow.
And I started doing plays, lots of plays. At the college, then winter stock, summer stock, bus and truck companies, live TV, film.
You also produced plays. You were the first female theater producer in Los Angeles.
The youngest.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I did the West Coast premiere in 1960 of Tennessee Williams' Sweet Bird of Youth, and Hamlet with Guy Stockwell, and original musical with, I can't name all the people now, but people that you would recognize.
Right.
Michelle Lee and Alan Seuss and David Franken and yada, yada, yada. But I loved every part of it. Mm. I loved the editing. I learned more about acting in the editing room. I did a series called The Flying Nun. And Howie Coonan, our director, our editor, would allow me to come into the editing room. And that's where I really learned about acting, you know. Give it your all each time. Give it your all the time, and always be questioning and searching for something that may be a little bit unique. I used to watch people. How did they walk? What were they wearing? Speech patterns. And I wanted to be a character actress. I didn't want to be a movie star.
Really? So you already knew that?
I knew that because the parts were more interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And there's less maintenance.
Right.
I didn't have to have a facelift. Truly, you know, I could just be who I am.
Right.
And follow my passion, which was to be as creative as I could and to make people laugh.
Yes. So you did The Flying Nun with Sally Field?
Yes.
Really?
Sisto, the one that got everything mixed up all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him take a shower.
And the rest, I mean, I was looking at your credits, and it was never ending. There's so many of them, and you've done Will and Grace, and I mean, loads that people watch every day.
And it's wonderful because I can be anonymous. There are people that stop me on the street, but they don't know my name.
Yeah, but you look familiar.
They don't know. No, they come up to me.
Uh-huh.
And they'll say, I come home, I'm tired, I have to fix dinner, I've been at work all day. I put on the TV and there's a rerun of Will and Grace, and you make me laugh. Oh.
Wow. Were you a regular on the series?
Yeah, for 8 years.
Wow. You see, I've never seen it, so I don't know.
66 episodes, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
And thank you. Thank you, NBC. Thank you, Will and Grace, because Rosario, bless your heart, you helped fund our movie.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
We couldn't ask anyone to wait 13 years to finish a film.
Right.
But we didn't have an ending.
Right. Wow. And we'll get to the film in just a second. I just wanted to ask, so you started doing all this acting and everything. Mm-hmm. And so did you feel this is what you were meant to do, pretty much? I mean, is that like your calling?
I'm still doing it.
Okay, then I guess it was your calling.
Making people laugh.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Although now I love producing. It's a whole new act for me.
Mm.
Especially now with all the technical stuff and having to learn all this technical.
Yeah,
and as I'm learning it, they're changing it.
Yeah, yeah. But you love to learn and you probably like
I
a
love
sponge
to learn,
still.
But
yeah.
Unless the material that's being offered to me right now, it been there, done that.
Right.
Unless it excites me and it can be something where I can creatively, you know, get the juices going. I don't want to have to pluck or shave.
Yeah. Makes sense. Okay. And so quickly, just tell us, how did you guys meet? Do you even remember after 41 years?
Oh, yeah. Totally remember.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not that old.
We didn't say you're old, but it has been 40 years. I don't remember what I did 40 years ago, you know?
Very clear, very clear. Shelley was coming into an office, a production office in Hollywood, on an independent feature film. I was working as an assistant director, and Shelley was coming in to meet the director who wanted her for the lead. And as soon as she walked in the door, she had the script in hand, and I looked at her. She looked at me. She had this huge smile that she has, great smile, her dimples, and
wow.
And I just totally fell in love.
I mean,
it was like if I'd been filming it as a director, uh-huh, I would have had the camera zoom in on her smile, you know, and then cut to me with this, you know, glazed look of like
exactly,
ecstasy. You know?
With all the dreams of like wedding and marriage and kids
exactly,
and everything.
I was hounding her after that.
Wow, very cool. So that's one of those things that we're meant to be, and obviously you're still together.
Yeah.
So you're like soulmates, obviously.
We eloped.
What's that?
We eloped.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. We went to Reno. And
after the film was finished shooting, and a few months later, we got married. So we wasted no time.
Yeah. Why was that? Did you think the parents were not going to go for it?
My mother was thrilled.
Oh, really?
Her
oh,
mother my was mother. Very down to earth. Very down to earth lady. And I had actually been married briefly for a year and a half before. Mm. And so I had that kind of bigger wedding thing. And I think it's great, but mine was very traumatic. Yeah. So I really was not looking forward to doing that again.
Right.
And Shelley's mom could care less, and she just liked me.
Oh, she adored you.
And that's as far as I was concerned, that's enough right there. We don't need, you know.
Oh,
but
my
we
relatives.
Did have a little ceremony up in a hotel in Reno, and it was done very, very nicely by the minister. He had a set. We walked into this darkened room. He flipped the light on, and there was this whole set. And Shelley said, oh, my goodness. It looks just like the Santenko, the setting, the convent in the Flying Nun. So she felt right at home. And so she got into the part, and, you know, he got into the part, and suddenly we were married. And
wow.
It was really cool.
Very cool.
And then we went camping to Yosemite.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Very nice.
And dropped acid.
We're old hippies. We're old hippies.
That's what you did then.
Back then, yeah. Back then. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody now, but I mean,
yeah, but at the
were.
Time it was okay. Yeah. You know, we did everything back
we
then.
Had one, we have one life that we know of.
Right.
And we have to be in the moment and enjoy every moment
everything.
There is.
Yeah,
everything.
And experience everything.
Everything.
Mm. Yeah, for
good,
sure.
Good, bad, and ugly.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Mm-hmm. All right, so we established you guys found each other and everything, and you've lived together for 40 years, but now you have a film opening August 15th, and the film is called Weaving the Past, Journey of Discovery. And you're saying this took you 13 years to make?
Yes. Well, a part of it is because it's a documentary, and I was going on a journey to uncover my grandfather's life in his early life and the secrets and the mysteries and the information that was missing, which was a huge amount. And I was driven to do this because I was at a point in my life where I needed to focus on something that was going to give me a sense of renewal. And so that's how I embarked on it, with a camera in hand, and then things started to snowball. And then the whole thing took on a life of its own, and I began to see that we needed to see the bigger picture of his life, the context. So we started interviewing historians and going to Mexico. And meanwhile, I was also looking for his family of origin. On his deathbed, he made our family promise to try to find his family in Mexico. From the age of 5, when he ran away from home, he never saw his mother or his family ever again.
Wow. He ran away from home at 5 years old?
Yes.
And they never found him or anything?
Oh, no.
Well, on his own, he made it through 35 kilometers of mountains and canyons.
Wow.
He had a stepfather that was very cruel to him.
Right.
So he fled. And but somehow, my grandfather had this incredible spirit. Even as a little boy, it was in him. And he found himself at this hacienda where he became a child laborer for the next 10 years. And, you know, it was arduous. Children in those days, they worked as soon as they could walk. I mean, they could start doing,
wow.
Yeah, because Mexico was incredibly poor back then.
Right, so everybody goes to work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But there he met this young man who was the owner's son, who was highly educated, and he and my grandfather became friends. The young man was a little older. But anyway, to make the long story short, this young man is who changed his life, and they ended up together here in the United States with a group of other young friends to try to change the whole system in Mexico, which was so oppressive.
Right.
And so it's the story in the film unfolds all of this as I learn it and as I go along. And so it's a very compelling story. It's a great story.
Yeah.
It's a story. It has history. It's not a true documentary in the sense it's a hybrid, because we have reenactment scenes, and many members of the family play their relatives.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And so many gifts along the way, the people that Walter and I met. I'm just so proud of my husband. I am so blown away by what he has done. I was thinking about this the other day, and 41 years ago plus, I fell in love with this extraordinary young man. And seeing what he's done with this film, that he is touching so many people. He's having people connect again, not just be on a cell phone.
Right.
not just be on a computer, but really connecting and watching audiences in previews and in screenings, young people, older people, people of all different backgrounds, feeling something, laughing, crying, feeling. I just fell in love with him all over again.
Wow. Fascinating.
Yeah.
So the idea, how did the idea for the movie come about? I mean, why did you pick your grandfather's? Because you figured it's your roots, right?
Well, he was an incredibly charismatic, and he was very humble. He was a very funny man. He was very down to earth, but he was also incredibly charismatic and had the respect and love of people everywhere. He took care of me in some crucial times in our family life when my folks were having some real marital problems, and my sister and I went to live with him. So I had the privilege of spending a lot of time with him. He would take us on long drives to go visit his friends throughout California, and we'd hear these wonderful stories, and he'd sing songs, and it was just, he was a wonderful man and a great man to have in your childhood looking over you. But I also realized, looking back, that he was a man who had no fear. He had courage everywhere he went. He was facing some things that were pretty daunting at times. One time, he and my grandmother were held up and held hostage for 4 days in the desert. This is back in the 1920s when crossing the desert in California was a real adventure.
Yeah.
And but he had no fear, and that was very typical of him. I reached a certain point in my life, midlife crisis, you probably could say, where people my age were getting old and sick, and I thought I was still a kid. I had a friend who died suddenly. Shelley was having some serious issues with cancer at the time. My father became ill. A number of things happened. 9/11 happened, and the whole tone of everything changed. It just everything became fear-based. And I needed to do something to pull me out of a really deep spiritual slump.
Yeah.
And what came to me was my grandfather, who was the most positive and most, he was always certain that if you needed help, help would come one way or the other. Never doubted it. And I drew upon that. And then I realized, you know what? I don't know a lot of, how did he become this kind of a man?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he couldn't have just been born that way. You know, things shaped him.
Right.
So that's what I started becoming more. And as I began to find out bits and pieces, I became more curious and more determined. And more than finally, I just became completely swept up in it.
Wow. That's pretty cool. You're pretty close to your grandparents, right?
Yeah. Very. Yeah.
I mean, you speak to them and mm-hmm. stuff. They
All
listen
the
to the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's so. So that's pretty cool. I don't remember much of my grandparents because we weren't that close. I mean, I loved them when I would go there and I was a young kid and everything because they were your grandparents. But as I grew up, we weren't that close, you know. I mean, it's just they lived their lives. I lived mine. And so I guess so when you have a grandfather that you're that close to, I mean, I would want to pick their brain, too. I would want to know exactly what they went through and everything.
That's
you know?
What it's happening now.
Right.
A lot of young people, especially, want to go and talk to their elders now and record what they're saying.
Right.
And, I mean, that a film, I was trying to think of a catchphrase to put in the ads. And it was like, when was the last time you saw a film that changed your life?
Mm. Wow.
That really impacted
That's pretty powerful.
You in a personal way.
Yeah.
And that people do come away. I mean, excuse me, there are people who have come away from the screening in tears because they've been so moved. They also remember the funny moments because we interview these seniors who their sense of humor is amazing. So there's so much in the film.
And the history.
Multi-layered.
The history. Walter spoke with so many different historians, and we went through archives, and
And we make the history come to life through these vivid reenactments. Shelley mentioned that we used family members as well as professional actors. And they all did a fantastic job.
Wow.
We went out here to the Valley. We went to one of the best costume houses in Hollywood. They outfitted us. They had this wonderful costumer who put together designs for every character. And as soon as they put, these amazing clothing on from 100 years ago and the hats and the whole thing, it was a transformational experience for them. And then as we were shooting the scenes and locations that were authentic, holding props and so on, I think they really made a connection with the past in a way that was really profound for them and changed their lives. So I'm glad we did that.
Yeah.
It comes through.
This is,
it comes
this is not
in
a
film
that was slapped together.
Right, right.
It runs 2 hours and 6 minutes and 6 seconds.
Oh, wow. So you have a lot to tell in
we
that
have
movie.
A lot to tell. And uh-huh.
But it moves along
it
fast.
It moves right. along. And the music that's in it. We have a lot of original music, a lot of indigenous music. And what was really wonderful for us is that over the years, 75% of the people that have worked on this film in some way, we have known for over 25 years.
Wow. There's a lot of talent here in Los Angeles
yeah,
area.
Yeah,
I mean, what a great
that's
place. For,
yeah.
And
for
everyone
resources.
Feels this pride, this sense of pride
yeah.
for having worked on this film.
Very nice.
I was going to ask, because when you said it's not something that was slapped together, yeah, it took 13 years. How does it feel now to know that... What was the exact date that it comes out? Did you say the 11th?
The 15th,
the 15th.
Right? Friday the 15th.
So like 10 days or mm-hmm. however, just under 2 weeks. How does it feel now to know that it's everything's done?
We're about to give birth.
Yeah, that's what it is, like a baby, yeah. right? Yeah. Yeah.
So there's that anxiety and excitement at the same time,
right.
nerves, but yeah,
no,
it's,
we're
it's
so
a milestone.
Busy, we don't have time to really feel that nervous, but yeah. we still have technical things that we're dealing with.
Right.
And... Oh, my goodness. It is coming up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're excited about it. You're right. It's a milestone.
Awesome. So the film is Weaving the Past, Journey of Discovery, and it premieres Friday, August 15th at 7 p.m. at the Lamely Playhouse 7 Theater Complex in Pasadena. That's Pasadena's historic Playhouse District, I guess.
Yes.
So it's an exclusive engagement, runs through Thursday, August 21st. What happens after that? Do you shop it in other places too,
We're
other theaters?
We're hoping to get a distributor or a sales agent.
Right.
To do video on demand. Mm-hmm. We're really hoping that we can make enough money back on this film so we can finish our second documentary.
I was about to bring that up. Whitewashed Adobe, the Rise of Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So you've already started the second.
We have about an hour of cut film.
Well, we
footage
actually
ready.
Have many, many hours of interviews yeah, we've shot. So we've gotten started on that. And it's a history of the city of Los Angeles
right.
from a Mexican pueblo into a large American city. And it's a remarkable story.
From 1850 to 1950. And wow. we've interviewed 20 different elders and all different backgrounds, Chumash women, Asian,
yeah,
black,
this
Hispanic.
This story will be told from the point of view of all the different people who... This is a unique city because really it was established as a very multi-ethnic city from the very beginning.
Oh, it was.
The pueblo, the first pobladores that came from Mexico were of mixed blood, African, Mexican, European... indigenous. So it was an interesting beginning. And then the Americans came, and then the Europeans, Americans are European in origin, but then more recent European arrivals and Asians and many more Mexicans. And so this city has always from the beginning been this fantastic mix.
That's true. That's true. And that's why I think also there's a big pool of talent here because
yes.
people bring it from all over the world, you know.
Yes.
And it's amazing. So, a history of L.A., that would be very interesting. You know, I would want to know about that.
Well, the Autry Museum invited us not too long ago to show an hour of cut film that we had already, and the response, you know, everybody in the audience, you know, when is this coming out?
Yeah.
Is when we have enough money to finish it.
It'll be for public television, so yeah. that, you know, it'll be in episodes.
Very cool.
Wow.
So you guys, did you self-finance your own film?
Yes.
Yes,
wow.
we did. Thanks to Rosario, Unwilling Grace.
And Shelley, who's very low maintenance.
Yeah.
Which is cool, you know, hey, come on. What's really important? How many pairs of shoes can you own? How much clothes?
That's true. I mean, you put it into something that you can build and enjoy and influence. And
you can
yeah.
leave. What, am I going to leave a pair of shoes?
Right, exactly. Who cares about that? You're right. So you invest in things that are meaningful.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, other couples, you know, they'll go on a cruise and
Which is fine. I think that's great
to travel.
Which
is wonderful. Which right. is wonderful.
We just love making these projects, and this one has been a huge project, and we're very proud of it, and we just think that it's important to share it with people.
We love working.
We're excited about that.
Yeah,
and we're closer.
Well,
now.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, I mean, you guys are like soulmates, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you probably can't imagine yourself with anybody else because everything connects with you guys. You know, and that's hard to find. You know, so you guys are very lucky to have found yourself.
We
are lucky
to have found each other rather early in your lives.
Yes,
you know. Well, so that's it. How can people – did you put up a website
the
– what is it?
We have a website, Facebook, Twitter. The website is weavingthepast.com.
Okay.
Facebook.
And from there, they can probably go and find all the Facebook and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Because nobody remembers the Facebook addresses
there are,
anyway.
There are icons anyway.
Weavingthepast.com.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So weavingthepast.com. Everybody go check it out. Check out the movie. And Shirley Morrison, Walter Dominguez, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Congratulations,
thank you.
Really, on the new baby.
Thank you.
It's amazing.
Oh,
I know. I mean, after 13 years, wow, that's a long gestation right there, you know.
The journey has been wonderful, though.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, thank you so much, and let us know how the film is done.
Thank you.
I'm sure within a year from now, a lot of people will have seen it, you know.
Yeah. From your mouth to God's ear.
Well, always. He always listens. All right. Well, everybody, thank you for joining us. Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you.
We'll see everybody tomorrow.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.